In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You are gods, and all of you sons of the Most High. These are the words of the psalmist, which our Lord quotes to the Jews in today's gospel. It is put forward as a proof of his divinity. One of the things that we learn in theology when studying the doctrine of the Trinity and of the Incarnation, it is that there is one God in three persons, and that the divine Son became man, is that when we look through the scriptures, it is not that we seek cases where the Old Testament or the New, the prophets or the apostles, are at pains to prove the divinity of Christ. What we are struck by, rather, is the fact that the divinity of Christ is everywhere in the scriptures simply assumed. Here, however, in the face of the Jews, our Lord does offer a proof of his divinity. They begin by telling him, "How much longer will you hold us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." He responds that he has been telling them plainly, but they do not believe, nor do they even believe in the face of the works he does in the name of his Father. He then declares, in words which surely can escape none of his listeners, in their testimony to his divinity, "I and the Father are one." At this point, then, even though they have just asked him for a declaration, they now take up stones to cast at him. Our Lord then asks them, "Why do you take up stones to cast at me?" And they respond, "It is not for any works that you have done that we do this, but because now you declare yourself to be God." Our Lord then offers them what in philosophy or theology would be called an a fortiori argument. That is, you argue from one thing and then say, if it is true in this case, how much more should it be true in this case? He then quotes this psalm where God mysteriously does refer to someone, to some group of people, as gods. It is perhaps worthwhile to take a moment to reflect on the text of this psalm, for our Lord reveals to us today that this psalm must be understood as one of the messianic ones. We find our Lord spoken of throughout the scriptures and especially throughout all of the psalms, but in this one especially, although we do not take the time often to reflect upon it. It is the 81st psalm. It begins very mysteriously, "God hath stood in the synagogue of the gods. He hath stood in the assembly of the gods, and in their midst he judges the gods." By this we must understand not any sort of polytheism, but this very word, gods, will be taken up again farther along in the text. Who then are these gods? It is to them now that the words are addressed. "How much longer will you judge wickedly? How much longer will you take up the faces of sinners? Give justice to the needy and to the orphans. Vindicate the humble, the lowly, and the poor. Deliver the poor and free the needy from the hand of the sinner. They do not know, nor do they understand. They walk in the darkness. The foundations of the earth all shall be moved. I have said, you are gods, and all of you, children of the Most High. But you shall all die like men, and like one of the princes, you shall fall. Arise, O God, and judge the earth, for thou shalt have all the nations for thine inheritance. The meaning of this mysterious psalm is that those who are the children of the Most High, those who are faithful to his testament, and here we are speaking as yet of the Old Testament, may rightfully be called children of God. Nevertheless, if they are not faithful to this testament, if they act wickedly, if they commit all the sins which are spoken of today in the book of Leviticus, if they are cruel to their neighbor and do not practice the virtue of charity, then they will die like men, and they will fall like one of the princes. That is to say, they will fall just like that great tempter who fell from grace and then proceeded to tempt man in the garden, promising that by taking of the fruit, men would henceforth be as gods. But our Lord's argument here is that if even those who are called to take part in the true religion may be called children of God, that is to say, those to whom the word of God has been given, how much more that word itself, the word of God, is even more worthy to be called God. The one whom God has sent into the world to announce the New Testament, he, far beyond anyone who is a child of God by adoption, merits the title Son of God. For with Christ, it is not by adoption, but by divine procession that he is called God and the Son of God. This, then, is our Lord's most admirable explanation of the words he has just told us, this revelation of the mystery of the Trinity. I and the Father are one. For in these words of our Savior, we find the full mystery of the Most Holy Trinity. The divinity, and yet the true distinction of all divine persons. This revelation of the divinity of Christ becomes now, as we draw toward the close of Passiontide, more and more explicit, until finally, in that dread moment on Good Friday, the cross will be unveiled, at which point all on earth, in heaven and under the earth, must bend the knee and acknowledge the wood of the cross on which hangs our salvation, the Savior of the world, true God and true man, our Lord Jesus Christ.